This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. Thank you for your support. All right, finally, we get to solutions here about the coronavirus pandemic. People have been texting me and calling me, you know, friends and colleagues and so on, and they're saying, what should we be doing? You know, aside from getting an N95 mask, typically they might say, we got some masks, what else should we be doing to prepare for this pandemic as it goes global? And of course, the first thing I tell them is, well, let's backtrack, because N95 masks are pointless. They don't protect you from any virus, by the way, because they don't seal your face, right? So you need a full face respirator if you plan to walk around a bunch of infected people. You know, if you want to actually isolate your respiratory system from airborne viruses and, you know, little aerosolized particles in the air that are carrying viruses and so on, then you're going to need a full face respirator. You're going to need, you know, a full hazmat suit, and you're going to need training and how to put it on, or how to take it off, how to disinfect yourself before you take it off, how to clean the suit or dispose of the suit, all these things. And frankly, there's not 1 in 100 people that can manage that. Really aren't. Because almost everybody in the middle of taking off their suit, they're going to scratch their nose, or they're going to touch the outside of their mask with their hand, their bare hand, and then they're going to later eat a sandwich. And, you know, viruses are very small, right? Everybody, I think everybody knows that. Like, it could be, what, 10 microns in size, or 50 microns? I mean, something in that range. So they're really, really small. You can't see them, obviously. And they're very large in numbers. So it only takes one, frankly, to infect you, and it's very difficult to avoid infecting yourself. So my advice is to focus on allowing your body to overcome it when you do get exposed. Right? Now there are social things that you can do ahead of that. You can avoid crowds, obviously, avoid sick people. But given that this spreads through the incubation period when people aren't even showing symptoms, you don't know if somebody's carrying the virus. You can't tell. You go to the gym or the movie theater or a sandwich shop, and for all you know, the guy making your sandwich, he's already spreading the infection. He's making like a coronavirus Subway sandwich. You know, you don't know. There's no way to know. So eventually, if this goes global, most people will be exposed. That's actually kind of the wise assumption here. Assume you're going to be exposed. Now, if you're exposed, all right, what next? How do you survive it? That's where we should focus our efforts, I believe. I mean, individually. You know, on a national scale, yeah, we should try to isolate people. We should try to prevent the spread of infections. We should educate people, you know, teach people to wash hands and stop going to, I don't know, movie theaters or something if it's breaking out in a local area. Whatever. There are a lot of things you can do on a national basis, but I'm talking about individually. When you're living in a society where other people are infected and it's going to get you eventually, how do you survive it? So start with the basics. Number one, the media keeps touting all the people who have been cured of the coronavirus. In fact, China likes to do stories on these. They don't talk about how many people are dead in a ditch. They talk about how many people are cured. Look, we beat it. Well, the truth is that based on current statistics, perhaps 9 out of 10 people survive it. And that seems to be with relatively minimal medical care. And with medical care, the survival rate might be a lot better. It might be 95%. You know, if you can get an IV with some fluids and some electrolytes, you know, maybe they find that there's an antiviral drug that treats people. I mean, they're experimenting right now with Ebola drugs and SARS drugs and AIDS drugs. And according to the media, those drugs are having a positive effect, they say. Of course, there have been no clinical trials. And since 9 out of 10 people survive anyway, it's hard to give that any credibility, right? It's like, oh, we gave this guy some AIDS drugs and he lived. It must work. Well, gosh, you know, 9 out of 10 people live anyway. So how do you know it's the AIDS drug? You see, you have to run a clinical trial. And there are no trials that have been done. So when they say, oh, here, take all these drugs, I tend to think it'd be much wiser to go with natural medicine. I mean, natural antivirals. I keep thinking about elderberry extract, right? I think about vitamin D, which helps prevent respiratory symptoms and you know, many issues related to lungs and so on. It helps support healthy lung function. I tend to think about, you know, nutrients, minerals like zinc and selenium. I tend to think about all the natural medicines, the essential oils that work, that have natural antibiotic properties, oils known all across the human knowledge base of indigenous medicine and ethnobotanical medicine, and, you know, written up in studies published in PubMed, you know, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of studies documenting all the effects of these natural substances. In fact, we publish a website that covers the research. It's called naturalantibiotics.news, naturalantibiotics.news. We also publish herbs.news, which is a superset of that site, but naturalantibiotics.news is a site that focuses specifically on new discoveries of natural antibiotics from the world of medicine, usually botany. Sometimes it's a nutrient or something, but usually it's from botany. So even though none of those have clinical trials either, they don't have the toxic side effects that come from all these antiretroviral drugs that Big Pharma is trying to push on you. And those drugs will probably be out of supply anyway. So I tend to think that it's a smart thing to, let's say, stock up on natural medicines that might have a good chance of working. And if you cover the bases with a lot of natural substances and you boost your immune function and you live a healthy lifestyle and you take common sense precautions to avoid crowds and avoid people who appear to be sick, you know, and you get some sunshine, because sunlight kills viruses, right? Not that they're living, but I mean, sunlight destroys their viability. If you do these things, you're very likely to survive, even when infected. So I tend to think, just to summarize, I tend to think it's going to be very difficult to manage to never get exposed. Probably everybody gets exposed sooner or later, because this is already broken containment in China. It's already out of control. It's going to go to other countries. It's going to end up in Mexico. It's going to end up in America. It's going to end up in Canada. Yeah, I mean, it's already kind of exploding in Japan and Thailand and Malaysia and Singapore and Hong Kong and many other Chinese cities outside of the region of Wuhan. So, of course, it's probably going to go global, which means you will probably be exposed at some point. So how do you survive exposure? That is, I think, that should be the priority on a personal basis. How do we survive exposure? Because it's clearly very survivable for most people. Now, some people just drop dead. They literally drop dead, have kind of like a muscle paralysis, and they die, it seems, within 60 seconds or so. It's pretty insane. If you have seen some of the videos coming out of China, you've seen that. But maybe that's, I don't know. I mean, according to official numbers, that may be anywhere from 2.1%, according to China, up to 15%, according to the Lancet study that was published recently. I don't know. Maybe the death rate is between 5 and 10%, let's say. Okay. But what's the death rate among people who have good immune systems, who have good, you know, vitamin C and superfoods and are eating healthy and are drinking plenty of water and are getting good sleep, by the way, and doing some simple exercise, not too strenuous, just like daily walking or gentle swimming or whatever. Keep your body moving, keep the lymph fluid moving. If you're doing all these things, what would be the death rate among those individuals? And I'm just taking a guess here. Obviously, we don't have clinical trials yet, but I would imagine that death rate is probably less than 1%. And so my best guess from what I know right now is that if you take care of your health, and I'll talk about this more in upcoming future podcasts, but if you practice good nutrition and good health habits and avoid stress and get good sleep, you know, all the things, daily gentle exercise, drinking plenty of water, avoiding all the toxic chemicals, avoid the toxic medications that strip nutrients out of your body and so on. If you do all these things, my best guess is that even if you get exposed, your chances of living are better than 99%. That's pretty good news. Probably also means my chances of living are better than 99% as well. And that's why I'm not that freaked out about eventually being exposed. I figure I will be exposed at some point. That's okay. I've got I've got things, even things that I wouldn't recommend to others. Like I might just drink some colloidal silver, for example, even though I don't sell that for anybody else to drink, I might just drink it myself. I might experiment with chlorine dioxide. I might try iodine. I might do a combination of all kinds of stuff if I got coronavirus, if it were confirmed. Of course, if you get trapped in a hospital, they won't let you take those things. Did you know that? You're a prisoner in the hospital system. Hospitals today don't allow natural supplements. So if you get taken to a hospital, they will kill you there. You know, very likely, they will kill you. They'll kill you with their cocktail of drugs, and then they'll tell you that you owe them for all those drugs, even when you didn't consent to the treatment. That's how the system works now. Yep, they'll kidnap you, throw you in a hospital quarantine, treat you with toxic drugs, and then put a lien on your house when you refuse to pay for it. So the best answer to that is don't get medically kidnapped, right? People come to your door, say, we're taking you to the hospital. All right, we're from the government. We're here to help you. Yeah, really? Shut the door. You know, defend yourself. You're better off at home, in my opinion, for most people. I mean, informed people who have common sense, you're better off at home than you are being treated with all the toxic drugs by a bunch of doctors and nurses who often spread disease. How do you think superbugs spread in hospitals? They're spread by the staff, the largely incompetent staff. So if you love getting infected with C. diff or MRSA, go to a hospital. They'll infect you in no time. They'll stick a probe up your ass in a colonoscopy. They'll infect you. They'll implant a superbug in your rectum. Seriously. I know of people who've died from that. They will absolutely do that. They'll stick a superbug up your ass, literally, and they'll bill you for it after you die. That's what hospitals do. And frankly, I'm not interested in that. I'd rather live or die at home. Either one is better than being a prisoner in a hospital with a bunch of incompetent, idiotic medical staff who are spreading disease. That's what they do. So keep all this in mind. Very important information that may help save your life one day. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can read my website, of course, at naturalnews.com or hear my podcasts at brighteon.com. Thank you for listening. Get prepared. Be safe. This is going global. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.